Alrighty, folks. Well, oh my goodness. It's an interesting time in life to be alive. So a lot of things that I can definitely say I did not think were going to ever happen are continuously happening all around me. I can't even blink my eyes more than once before something crazy and ridiculous happens. Welcome back to the IDK Cast. It is your girl, Chandra. And we are back at it again. I got a big fat meal of news stories for us to review. So let's dig in. Bon appetit. Please get your plate and let's get in on this meal. First of all, let's talk about the Deshaun Jackson fiasco. Let's just call it that. I guess he was on his IG story and he just decided that he was going to enlighten some of us about some things that were not even said by Hitler. And it's weird because I don't know why, but hey, I mean, I guess he decided to read a book with erroneous Hitler quotes. The quote in question that is being attributed to Hitler is because the white Jews know that the Negroes are the real children of Israel, and to keep American secret, the Jews will blackmail America. They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they were. The white citizens of America will be terrified to know that all this time they've been mistreating and discriminating and lynching the children of Israel. Now, of course, he followed back up on this after immediately there was a lot of, and rightly so, there was a lot of backlash about him putting this up. And, you know, he kind of scribbled on it and put this, and, you know, when people say something and, you know, they want you to agree, or they agree with that, they're like, this is like the quote that hits me. So he got a lot of backlash, particularly from white Americans. I didn't really see that much backlash from Jews necessarily, but I'm pretty sure that that is a serious possibility, as there were a lot of people from the Jewish community, a lot of notable people from the Jewish community that reached out to Deshaun Jackson immediately following this fiasco. And a lot of people raised up a really good point, which was that a lot of the news organizations that decided to report on this incident were very, they were softballing the issue. They were not coming against him as hard as they did against Drew Brees for saying that he was not going to support people who were going to kneel against the flag and not support, of course, the Black Lives Matter cause. So, I mean, and rightfully so. I'm definitely not against it. First of all, I would like to give a little bit of a quick education, a quick world history tour for anybody who is not aware of this. Number one, this quote is extremely erroneous. It was immediately debunked by everybody who saw it. Hitler, number one, was about killing all types of Jews. It didn't matter what kind of Jew you were, and he really didn't know. First of all, his genealogy was totally erroneous. He basically attributed the Aryan race to people who were living in the area of Europe, Austria and stuff like that. However, he did note that the Aryan race had been, the gene pool had been muddled with the mixing of the races, quote unquote. And that's why he reasoned away the whole thing with him not having blonde hair and blue eyes. However, a little less known fact about Hitler is that he didn't just kill the Jews. Now, while the Jews were the most, they were definitely killed in larger numbers than other people, he was strictly against every and any minority. He decimated the Romani community, decimated any blacks that lived in Eastern Europe, any blacks that happened to live in Poland, and all the other places that he went and had his troops over, any minority of any race, if you were not blonde hair, blue eyes, and Eastern European, like, they would really kill you. So there were blacks that were murdered at the hands of the concentration camps. Not just Jews, but Christians were also killed at these concentration camps. So it really, it boggles my mind beyond some serious, I just don't understand what possibly could have gone through his head. Now, they actually brought up a good point. You know, a lot of the stuff that he was talking about is a lot of erroneous, just a lot of falsehoods about history that are brought up by a very famous preacher. Not a preacher, because I believe technically he would be an imam, but he's not really Muslim, of course, in the Nation of Islam. Louis Farrakhan. And his anti-Semitic hate speech, as well as his anti-white hate speech. However, a lot of people, again, were not coming against him very hard because it wasn't anti-black, it was just anti-white and anti-Semitic. People were saying, well, what's the problem? He was basically being racist towards white people, but people weren't calling it out for what it is. And, you know, this whole redefinition of racism as towards it's only racist if you are the racial group in power, not if you display hateful acts towards any particular race group or ethnicity. It's all about whether or not you are the people in power, which I quite don't understand. Hate is hate. Racism is racism. This was a racist act. I totally decry it personally myself. Not as it's only completely erroneous, but it's just not even right, because black people, African Americans who have history, who have ancestors who were brought over from Africa, they were just simply not in the areas where the historical children of Israel were, where they lived. So it's just all of that foolishness is completely erroneous. Part of me didn't want to talk about it, but the other part of me does want to talk about it, because it's a really interesting point that racism towards whites or other minorities is not hounded on as heavily as black people. And part of the reason why is because it's not as pervasive throughout society as it is when it is white people against black people, but it is definitely prominent and it's definitely there. It's definitely not something that should not be addressed. Racism is wrong no matter who is doing it to who. But definitely, I want to hear what you guys' thoughts are about this whole situation. Is it racist? Is it not racist? Why do you think so? Of course, if anybody would like to know what the follow-up is, A lot of notable people, again, from the Jewish community came out and were like, hey, we're going to take you on Holocaust tours. You know how people's press teams come against people to try to make it look as if they are reforming or changing their mind, but they're really not changing their mind at all. So that is that for that story. Again, guys, let me know in the comments what you think. Forward me an email at idkcastpod@gmail.com and let me know whether or not you think, you know, was that really racist? Do you not believe that people who are not a part of the quote-unquote oppressed are allowed to be titled as racist people? So moving on to our next story, of course, we have the giant contract of $503 million towards Patrick Mahomes II. This is a 10-year extension. It's not going to kick in until 2 years from now because there's 2 years left on his existing contract. So let's break down this contract a little bit, of course. A lot of people are like, that is a lot of money. I don't know how the Kansas City is going to be able to afford it. So let's talk about it. First of all, he has a lot of stipulations going on in this contract. Okay, so first off, he is not going to just be simply getting $50 million just straight out the bag. This is a 117-page contract. There is tons of incentives. So a lot of the money that his contract is valued at is not necessarily guaranteed money. It's money based off of performance incentives. So if he does this amount of passes or touchdowns, or he earns them this amount of wins, it gets them to the playoffs, then he'll earn an additional bonus, if you will. Of course, there are also other bonuses for staying healthy, other different, there's like little ins and outs and stuff like that. And of course, he does have a significant amount of that money, of the $530 million, that is guaranteed to him. So, first of all, he has a guaranteed about, I've been hearing different figures, anywhere from $350 to $450 million that is guaranteed to him. So no matter what happens, even if he retires tomorrow, he's going to get that money. So that would make for about $25 to about $50 million in incentives for different things. Again, like winning AFC Championship and winning the Super Bowl, getting them to the playoffs, all different types of stuff like that. So, like I said, I mean, it is a completely, it's a lot of stipulations and stuff like that. We're just looking at the final estimated figure. It is not what he will probably be earning, simply because that's just how life works. If he's injured, he can lose money, but he is guaranteed certain amount of money through his injuries. So he has about $150-140 million in guaranteed injury money. So he will definitely be eating. Don't worry about him. Even if he doesn't fulfill a single thing on this entire 10-year contract, he will still be eating, guys. And he will be eating well better than you and me. So, like I said, it's a pretty good contract. All things definitely put together. But again, the money more so is not guaranteed. Like, I'd say about 50 to 75% of the money is not guaranteed money. It's performance incentives, also money valued for injury guarantees. If he happens to get injured, he can access this amount of money. So it is a big contract, nevertheless, but in guaranteed money, it's a little less than about the average quarterback would get. Well, definitely, it is a huge deal, and congratulations to him. Hopefully, him and his agent are looking over the contract. He's going to try to keep himself in the best shape possible and try to just out-compete his competitors, because that's really the only way that he's going to be swimming in that kind of cash, that he has to out-compete his competitors. And there's good reason to believe that he, for a certain extent, he will outcompete his competitors. He's an amazing quarterback, simply naturally gifted, as well as he's beginning to really train and develop his talents more. We will definitely see as time goes on. But again, congratulations to Patrick Mahomes on his $503 million contracto. Guys, let me know again in the comments below about this story. What do you think? Is he going to be able to access a lot more of this money than I personally predict? I only think of all of those incentives, he maybe will get maybe 10 to 20% of that money, of the incentive money. Hopefully he doesn't get injured. He's been pretty lucky so far, but you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, hopefully he won't have to access any of that injury money. But you know, it's 10 years. We won't necessarily know. And just with this 2-year contract that he has, there's definitely no guarantee that he will be injury-less for the next 12 years of his career within the NFL. So again, let me know what you think about this contract, whether or not you think this was over, kind of over bloated, to an extent, or do you think he's going to be able to access more of that money through performance incentives? If you guys think that Mahomes is the man and he's definitely going to bring back the trophy, if he's going to bring do a back-to-back, let me know in the comments below. So for our next story, it's going to be pretty NFL heavy because in the NBA, again, nothing is really happening. I guess the most notable thing that we can talk about is that they have gone to Disney. Everybody has set forth for Disney that is healthy and can completely can. We did get a nice little video with Bob on I always mess up his name, but Boban and Luca doing the Disney Channel thing. It was cute. I like that the Mavericks did post that on our Twitter. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at IDK_cast. But right now, everybody's just settling in, getting ready for the restart of the NBA. So we're going to be a little bit more NFL focused. You know, of course, you can always check out these guys' Instagrams and their Twitters to see some of the pictures that they posted. There were a lot of pictures of people on the plane and people in the hotel. So that's pretty much what's going on that end. As far as the WNBA, they should be moving. Most people should be moving towards the Image Academy. There are only 7 people who have tested positive for the coronavirus. And once they are done, they will be cleared and they will head to the Image Academy, not the Image Academy, but Las Vegas a little bit later on. So we will be keeping in touch with that stuff. So for our next story, as after that little interlude, the NFL is trying to get itself together for the season. Now they are playing with a lot of different possibilities, a shortened season, different style of coverings. How are they going to work out the whole player-to-player contact? Because essentially, that is the whole point of football. And how are they going to minimize the risk for players to contract the coronavirus? Because essentially, it doesn't really matter if the press contracts it, or, you know, just a member of the media contracts it, because I'm pretty sure they're gonna have NDAs out for everybody, and just be like, listen, if you contract the coronavirus, that's simply your risk that you took. I'm sorry, but you definitely can't sue us. So one of the things that they are thinking about doing, on top of having a shortened preseason to only 2 weeks, they are thinking about just no media at all. In addition to no crowds, no media. So none of the journalists and stuff like that. If you're not officially NFL people, you are not allowed to be there. Especially, the usual post-game interviews and stuff like that that they usually have. You will not be allowed to do that. They're also saying that there are going to be dispensable masks available throughout the game on both sidelines in the bench area. Of course, players will be encouraged to be wearing a mask at all times, particularly when they are not being substituted within the game. They, of course, are going to try to enforce social distancing to the best way that they can, particularly on the sidelines. They are going to mandate that social distancing of 6 feet between coaching staff and players is enforced. And after the game, they are not allowed to give out autographs. So in this scenario, if they have fans, it's probably going to be at limited capacity, maybe 25-50%. So they're not allowed to take things from fans. Fans aren't allowed to give them things. So no signing autographs, no photos. No one's allowed to share towels, food, all the stuff that they usually do. And no jersey swaps after the preseason game. So I like jersey swaps because it's cute to look at, but it, honestly, to me, it's nothing that serious. But Richard Sherman actually had tweeted about it. He was saying how ironic it is that the NFL was thinking that players can engage in full-on contact within a full contact game, do it completely safely. No one gets the coronavirus, but it's unsafe for them to exchange jerseys after the game, which is a little bit of a funny thing because it is actually completely true. Like, to me, it doesn't make sense, but I mean, I guess they're trying to keep the contact to a minimum. So while there is going to be contact, they're going to try to keep it as low as possible, and just reduce the amount of reoccurring contacts for them to potentially touch each other and have the coronavirus, and then somebody else gets the coronavirus, and then next thing you know, the whole NFL has the coronavirus. They have to shut things down like the NBA. So, if I were them, speaking on my personal views, I would probably think about taking some cues from the NBA about how they did things. Of course, I'm probably sure that they are. They're probably also consulting a litany of medical professionals and experts and pathologists who understand how viruses work. So definitely, you know, my advice is nothing but dirt, but I will probably be taking heavy notes for how the NBA is going to do things, particularly during this restart, see what they're going to be doing before I start really nailing things down on paper. Of course, these are just some suggestions that they're coming out with. It's much similar to what the NBA was doing during their shutdown. They're just kind of throwing ideas out there in the press, seeing how players will react to it and fans will react to it, and you know, anybody else who's not cued in on the information. So I definitely wouldn't take any of this stuff for serious, but it is definitely something to think about. How are they going to be able to do this heavy, heavy contact sport as safe as possible? Of course, a lot of people have been saying this is just no way for them to do that. They might as well just cancel the season. I'm in agreement. If they really can't come up with a way to do that, of course, other than only thing I could possibly think of is everybody wears gloves. Everybody's wearing masks, and we're just minimizing contact to a certain degree. Whether or not people are just not going to be able to play man-to-man coverage, everybody's going to have to do zone. I think that it's just there's too many risks involved with such a high contact sport as the NFL to say that they are going to be able to do this completely safely. It's a little ridiculous, but hey, they may come up with something that really works. Particularly, I think it's going to be harder when we look at some of these more second wave, quote unquote, states like Florida, where, especially in Miami, where they're having a huge second outbreak of the coronavirus because, well, the states were unwilling to shut down the very first time. So, I mean, in states where the spread is minimizing and there's a decline, I think that those can be, you know, states that we can consider doing that, but they can't do something like the NBA is doing because, number one, it's not even the full amount of teams at the NBA. So if they try to do something that the NBA did, you have 32 teams and you have way, way more people on just one NFL team than there is on an NBA team. So, yeah, it's just thinking about it, like, it's just too hard. There's just too many instances where someone who has the virus can come in contact with somebody else, and then they come in contact with somebody else. It may just be their best option to, not have an NFL season. But, you know, these guys, the money is what is more important to them. So, again, we're going to be paying attention to that. Of course, you are always going to get updates as to what the NFL officially comes out with for the season coming up. Last but not least, we do have a little bit of NBA news. other than people moving on to Florida, we also have a senator who decided he wants to push his political agenda as well as Black Lives Matter. Now, if you guys are familiar with the Black Lives Matter movement, almost immediately following the creation of the movement, a secondary movement in opposition to Black Lives Matter had occurred called Blue Lives Matter. Blue, of course, meaning the color of the serge suit a police officer wears, saying that, you know, basically it's kind of like satire, saying that, you know, if the Black people the police are killing matter, then the police who are shooting the Black people matter as well. Their lives matter too. And police officers get killed in the line of duty and they shouldn't be. And I agree, you know, they shouldn't be. But however, that is an inherent risk. What do they call that? An occupational hazard. That is something that you sign off on. Being a police officer is a choice. You cannot be one. If you are one, you can retire, or you can simply move to a division within the police where you just don't have those types of interactions that can turn deadly are more common. But being a police officer, being shot is an inherent risk, and dying is an inherent risk, unfortunately. But you know, it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it. So this Senator Josh Hawley, he decided he was going to write a letter to the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver saying that the league should consider supporting the police, the U.S. military, and Hong Kong protesters. Now, if you guys don't know, in Hong Kong, there, of course, has been a lot of protests towards China's more militaristic approach towards the police. There, the NBA has really been in support of China because, well, Hong Kong is a small part of China, and China is really where all the money is at, particularly with the NBA, as they are having a growing international stage and market. There is a significant portion of the population in China that is very heavy NBA, which is growing year by year. It would make absolutely no sense for them to turn around and support Hong Kong and protest to China. But he decided that since Black Lives Matter was going to be a political agenda that the NBA was going to allow players and coaches to voice, he was going to push the exact opposite. Guys, this is just distraction politics 101. People, when you bring up a good point, they bring up a nonsensical point to try to, quote unquote, I guess, equivocate their foolishness to try to belittle your cause. This kind of stuff, again, is hilarious to me because these same people would have an issue if someone were to do something of a similar effect to them. It's really not even worth reporting on, other than the fact that the senator got cussed out by an ESPN reporter just for even saying that foolishness out of his mouth. Well, he didn't really say it out of his mouth. He posted it on Twitter and then sent the letter. Of course, the ESPN reporter apologized for the language, but I mean, yes, he was wrong for cussing him out, but I completely understand where he's coming from. It's a frustration within the Black community that whenever a legitimate cause is brought up, someone tries to bring about a false equivocate in the name of bringing a more important point that is not a nonsensical point at that. So that wraps up. I hope you enjoyed that feast of good news and commentary, guys. Of course, as always, let me know in the comments what you think. Share this episode with a friend or someone you think might like what we talked about in this episode. And tell them, hey, tell me what you think. Of course, guys, all of our social media links are in the description of this podcast. Hopefully, Spotify is back on working. I heard this morning that it wasn't working. Hopefully Spotify, Facebook, all that foolishness is back up for all of you guys who have iOS 13. I don't have iOS 13 because I have an iPhone 6. So that stuff didn't really affect me. Plus, personally, I don't really use Spotify. But if you listen to me on Spotify and you happen to have an iPhone that has iOS 13, hopefully your stuff is back up. And that's it for this episode. I will see you guys next week on time, guys. I'm sorry that I was feeling a little bit under the weather, but we will be back on our schedule. We will be back at it like a bad habit on Thursday at 6 o'clock. See you guys next episode. Peace out.